the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. We'll pray the prayer we prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, trusting that the answers will become manifest in our lives. Ephesians chapter 1, join me as we pray this prayer for ourselves, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. May the Lord answer this prayer that we are praying from Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 17 to 23. Now let's go to our scriptures that we have been bringing before you. Our basic scripture has been from Hebrews chapter 6. We've been considering the first principles of the oracles of God, the foundational teachings that are necessary for us to move on to maturity and perfection. We've been dealing with these seven issues, and we'll go over them again, which is the doctrine of Christ, which is talking about the Godhead, knowing Christ by revelation and the God that we serve, and then also the issue of repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works is not repentance from sin, but from the works of the flesh that is not led by the Spirit of God. And next to that is faith toward God, living a life of faith. The just shall live by his faith. And then next to that is doctrine of baptisms, and we have dealt with these different baptisms in the Word of God. And then next to that is laying on of hand for so many reasons, for impartation, for healing, for ordination, and so on and so forth. And then we have dealt with the issue of resurrection of the dead, and we are now dealing with eternal judgment. We spent some 2-3 weeks on this issue of eternal judgment now, and then today, last week, we introduced these three judgments: the judgment seat of Christ, and then the judgment of Christ on His throne when it comes to judge the nations, as we see in Matthew 25, verse 31 to 33, and then the white throne judgment, as we see it in Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. We went further on this issue of judgment seat of Christ, and we looked at it last week. And we want to also, since this is very important, particularly to clarify some of the things that we said last week, I want us to look at some things that is important. And because if we are going to sit at the judgment seat of Christ, we said last week, we don't need to wait until we get there, and then we are shocked, we are surprised, and we are left naked. And that's why Jesus said to us, we read that scripture, come and buy from me. You can buy now. You can buy this gold now. And this gold is talking about the nature of Christ. On this basis, I want us to look at some scriptures of how we can begin to prepare ourselves for this judgment seat of Christ. It doesn't have to take us unawares. In fact, that's always the counsel of God, that we must not allow this thing to take us unaware as the children of light, that we must know this thing, we must understand this thing. And so I want to start to look at some scripture about us. How do we prepare? How do we prepare for this judgment seat of Christ? How do we go there ready? ready, and we know that what we are going to get from the Lord is, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. I'd like to say that it starts by personal judgment, personal judgment, personal judgment. And then we will see this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Paul was dealing here, of course, with the issue of Holy Communion, but he needed to deal with it, and so he was something that is important. And he says from verse 28, 1 Corinthians 11, from verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. That's judgment, not discerning the Lord's body. Very important, very important. Discerning here is a spiritual thing, to have spiritual discernment, to be able to judge issue spiritually. And when we don't have spiritual judgment and discernment, even about the body of Christ, and we do certain things inside the way, our revelation, our discernment, or our discerning will determine what we do. Please let me also explain here, because sometimes we confuse this issue. There's a difference between the discernment that is as a result of our walking in the Spirit. We have to acquire as we walk with God. This discernment or discerning, as we grow in the Lord, grow in the spiritual things, as we walk in the Holy Spirit, we acquire this. This is different from discerning of spirit. That is just a gift, and we must know the difference. Discerning of spirit is a gift of God, as we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That is different. Not everyone should have that. But discerning or discernment is something that every believer who walks with God, who walks in the Spirit, must have. And we are going to show you this. So we go on, verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That means many die prematurely, unnecessary death, because of not discerning the Lord's body and knowing what to do. That's why Paul said, when you gather, you do not gather for good, but for worse. Why? Because there's no discernment. There's no discernment. And some of them, because of this, judgment was already falling upon them. Judgment of sickness or weakness and death. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now, that's where I'm going. In other words, there's a room for me in my walk with God and for you for self-judgment. But this judgment is not of the flesh. It's not self-examination. It's not putting myself in my own scale and judging me or measuring myself with somebody else. But walking in spiritual discernment, spiritual judgment, so that I can walk with God and God can tell me things to judge in my life. And then, for if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Then it says in verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we will not be condemned with what? With the world. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. So we see now, the Lord is involved. In other words, this discernment, this that brings judgment, this judging of myself, is two people are involved. I am involved, and the Lord himself is involved. In other words, I'm going to trust the Lord now to give me discernment, to give me his judgment about myself, about my life, about my work, about what I do. So God will not do it alone for me, and I cannot do it alone. That's why he says, when we do this, we are chastened of the Lord. And he says, if I walk this way and I judge myself by God's discernment and discerning by the Spirit, and I cooperate with God, I would then not be judged or be condemned with the world. That's where personal judgment is important. And then, conversely, if I don't do this, what does it mean? I'll be judged with the world. I'll be condemned with the world. That's why it is important for us to understand these things. Listen, I'm not talking about judging myself by my own standard or by somebody's standard. No. I'm taking judgment by discerning that come from the Spirit, that come by walking with God. And we're going to look at this today. If I don't judge myself, I'm not preparing myself for that judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to be shocked. I'm going to be naked there. I'm going to be surprised, and I don't need to be. That's the issue. So this judgment is very, 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 very important. Now, because the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 to 28, it says, it is appointed once to die, and after this judgment. Now, that is the final judgment. And I want to read that from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, there. It doesn't say joy, it says the judgment. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So when it comes the second time. But the point I want to make here is this. This is a final judgment. You can't do anything about it then. Once you have died, what is then waiting is judgment. But there's a judgment we can do now about ourselves, that will not be judged with the world, that will not be condemned with the world, and that is judging ourselves by discerning. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, and it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, the word judge there means to discern. Because when you have discernment, you are judging. Judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, those who are spiritual, they have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is given to them. So, but who are those ones who can have this spiritual discernment? He said, those that are spiritual. Then that means that if you are carnal, you can't have this spiritual discernment or judgment. Paul said, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. And that's why we must deal with carnality in the church. We must deal with carnality in our lives. And now you will see that's what Paul is dealing here. When he say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he say, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Why? Because when a Christian lives in carnality for too long, he will become like just an ordinary man. He will become like a natural or mere man. So it is important that we walk with the Lord and become spiritual, so that we can discern and we can follow the Lord. And so that by cooperating with the Lord can judge us now. The Lord can judge us now, judge the things in our life. We can put our lives in order. Now we don't have to wait until we face that judgment seat and we don't know what is waiting for us, even in the reward. Now, I want to take this further. This discerning, I want to take it further. And we'll go back to the same Hebrews chapter 5. And then I want to read what it says, because it's important. Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 10, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. When somebody is not growing spiritual and becoming spiritual, he will be dull of hearing spiritual things. He won't be able to understand them. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and I become such I have need of meek and not of strong meat. To become spiritual means we should grow. The Bible says grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to grow. As newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the word. We must grow, but then we must move beyond the milk and grow into strong meat. And strong meat. For everyone that uses meat is unskillful. That means it's not developed spiritually in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. For he will remain on meek, will never be skillful in spiritual things, will never come to spirituality, become a spiritual man that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that discerns all things, that judges all things, and he himself is judged by no man. You see, when a man becomes spiritual and through discernment and walking with God, he judges all things by his spirit, by discernment. He weighs everything before God. He judges everything. He judges himself. He judges situations around him. He judges issue by his spirit. And he says he himself is judged by no man. In other words, it doesn't mean he cannot be judged. It just means that a mere man who is not walking in the spirit cannot judge him, cannot discern him. And that's what's happening in the church. Many times our judgment is carnal. Very, very carnal. Very, very carnal. Because we have not developed our spirit man to be able to enter into judgment that comes out of discernment. Verse 13, for everyone that uses meat is unskillful in the word of righteousness, and for is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, or who are mature. And that's the essence of what we are bringing to it. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the senses there, listener, is not talking about physical senses, it's talking about senses in our spirit man. Just like we have the five senses in the soul and the body, so also we have these five senses in the spirit, in our human spirit. Because the Bible says that the spirit beareth witness, the Holy Spirit beareth witness with our human spirit, that we are. It is a Christian who is now exercising his spirit to follow the Holy Spirit. That's what he's using here. Who by reason of you exercised. So the spirit must be exercised. The spirit must be exercised, not our soul, not our body. The spirit must be exercised by reason of you, by reason of practice. And as we follow the Holy Spirit, we are growing in discernment. We're growing in discerning things spiritually. That's how we come. If you are not walking in the spirit and following the Holy Spirit, we can never mature. We'll be unskillful in the word of righteousness. We'll not be able to judge ourselves. And it will be too late when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, when we have not started doing it here. I hope you are listening. That's why he says to us in Romans chapter 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, they are not going to be condemned. They are not going to be judged. They are just ready for their rewards. Because why? They have been judging the flesh. They have been discerning. They have been allowing God to help them to judge. By discernment, God is able to show them what to judge, and they have been judging. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for them who are in Christ. Who are this one? Who are in Christ Jesus? Who are this one? Those who are not walking in the flesh, but they are walking in the Spirit. That's why he also said in that Romans chapter 8 verse 13, that those who are walking in the Spirit, they are judging the flesh. They are mortifying. They are killing the deeds of the flesh. They are judging the flesh. They are judging the works of the flesh. They are judging what they are doing now. They are not going to do things without allowing to be judged or pass through the judgment of God. They are already judging themselves now. Now, if we don't judge ourselves this way, the Bible says we shall be judged, or we shall go into great tribulation, like the world will go into great tribulation. That's why people are saying Christians won't go through great tribulation. No, that's God's fire. Okay, but and that's why we read it for you in Revelation chapter 8 previously, that it says, come buy from me gold tried in fire. Gold tried in fire. So, but we can buy now. We can buy now. Fire just means judgment. But that judgment may become very, very hard if we don't do it now and we're waiting. And like the church of Laodicea, the Lord will say, go and buy tribulation. I trust that as we bring in this word, the Lord is helping us to discover the truth, to understand the truth, so that we will not be like any other person. Brethren, listeners, we don't have to be condemned with the world. We don't have to go the same way with the world. You could see even in what we read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because they were not discerning the body, already some of them were asleep, some of them were dying, some of them were weak, some of them were having sicknesses and diseases in them because they were not discerning. So we need to follow the Holy Spirit to exercise, by reason of exercise, by reason of use, to develop spiritual skills, to develop our spirit man, to develop discernment in our spirit man, so we can, every child of God ought to have this discernment. That's how we become spiritual, and we can begin to judge ourselves. May the Lord bless us, and may the Lord help us. And that's why it's important. I also want to show us a scripture in the Old Testament. Please let's go to Ezekiel 44. Let us look at what true priesthood should do for us. Now, in this Ezekiel 44, we are going to see two kinds of ministries, and I want to show us that briefly. In Ezekiel 44, and I want to read from verse 10, I want to show the first type of a ministry. He said, and deliver that are gone away from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yea, they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, and having charge at the gates of the house, and ministering to the house, they shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them, to their minister. Because they minister unto them before their idols, and cause the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near unto me, nor to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and the abomination which they have committed. Verse 14, but I will make them keepers of the charge of the house, for all the service thereof, for all that shall be done therein. So we see this first set of ministers, they shall minister to the house, because they minister to people according to the idol, what they want to hear. They are ministering, in other words, hay, stubble, and wood. They shall minister to people according to their natural need, find solution to their natural problem, give them physical bread, meet their physical need, meet their emotional needs and minister to them according to what they desire and what they dictate to this minister. That's one. But thank God that we have the second set. It's in verse 15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray for me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me. First, that's the ministry. The first part of ministry is not to minister to people, it's to minister to the Lord himself. And they shall stand before me to offer unto me fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. The fat there means praise and worship. The blood means our very soul. The soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the soul is in the blood. That's what the scriptures say. They shall enter into my sanctuary and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me. You see, the emphasis is ministering to the Lord. And they shall keep my charge. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, that's the Holy of Holies, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, whilst they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. So we see here this minister, a different set of people who are coming to minister to the Lord first and foremost, who are keeping his charge, and who are coming to his table, and who are ministering to him, and who are partaker of his holy things, and they are ministering in the inner court, and they are wearing what? Clothed with linen garment. We have talked to you what this means. It means their souls are being covered by the nature of Christ. Okay? We have shown this. Those who are not walking in the flesh. That's why Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, not only to come and buy gold, he was asking them in that passage we read in Revelation chapter 3, he was not just asking them to come and buy gold, but he asking them to also buy something. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold in the fire, and thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. That's the righteousness of the saints. When we judge ourselves, that's when righteousness becomes part of us. Thank God for righteousness imputed when we become Christian, but then we must move beyond that righteousness imputed to righteousness imparted when it becomes our nature and our character. That's when it becomes righteousness. That's when it becomes a white garment or white linen for us. Then let's go back to that Ezekiel that we're reading, and then let's see this minister, this set of ministers who are ministering to the Lord, who are coming to the inner court, who are partakers at his table and all that. And then let's see what they will do. One of the things they will do for us is in verse 23. And they say, and they shall minister, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. So we see here, it's important. And then verse 24, and say, and in the controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgment, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assembly, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. So we see here, it takes this kind of minister who are ministering to God by their appearance in the presence of God, ministering to the Lord, being partakers at his table, and coming before him with white garment, which is not physical, which is the covering of their soul with the nature of Christ. They are receiving discernment from God. And then when they come to us, they can release and impart that discernment to us as well. So, but when we have ministers who are not standing with the presence of God, and they just minister to the house activities and program and all that, they cannot release this discernment to us. So this discernment comes also to us by impartation. It comes by exercising our spirit to walk with God. And it also comes by that those who have this, by their being the presence of God, to minister to us, so we can have this discernment, we can begin to judge. And that's why the next verse is talking, they shall judge according to what? According to my judgments. We must have God's judgment now on issues. If you are not preparing yourself to be sure to go to the judgment seat of Christ unprepared, we must begin now to begin to judge ourselves. If we judge ourselves, we shall not be condemned with the world. But our judgment, that judgment is not a human judgment. It's not a judgment mentally. It's not a judgment born out of what we have read or what we have heard. We shall not judge according to the hearing of our ear or seeing of our eyes. But it's going to be judgment by the Spirit of the Lord. But it's been working with the Holy Spirit that judgment is given to us. It's part of our inheritance. It's part of our experience. It's part of what we should have now that should prepare us for the days ahead, to be able to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be able to receive a reward, and to be able to hear to him saying to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if you don't do that, we just walk on without discernment, without discerning, and we're just doing the works of the flesh, thinking we are serving God, going by what we read, what we know mentally and emotionally, and raising people on that platform, on that level, we are just doing a work that will be burnt. I pray that the Lord will bless you. I pray that the message we brought again today will be a blessing to you, and that it will help you to find your way in walking with God. God bless you.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers: 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again: 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejorolua, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish.